this morning just to share the message, and so what I felt to share about is Psalm 121, and it's Psalm 121 is part of what they call the Song of Ascent. So went up, and as they went, these were some of the songs that they recited. And Eugene Peterson, the writer of The Message, wrote a book about that called The Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And he just spoke of how those number of psalms actually summarize so much of our theology, especially back in for the nation of Israel. They didn't have a New Testament. They didn't have all the books and all those things we have today. So they were singing and praying these psalms as they went up the mountain as a way to remind themselves of the character of God and who God is. And I don't know about you, but as the new year starts, it's many times it's obviously a thing of a fresh start, new year, new you, all of those things. And then you can find yourself slightly anxious, depending on how strong your goals are, how sure you are about where your goals are going to lead. Is your life making sense? All of those things. And the psalm just resonated with me in terms of, where does my help come from? What do I look to? And this was obviously written originally for those making that pilgrimage to the temple and looking for help as they journeyed, because the journey could be quite dangerous in that day. For us, just today, it speaks about our pilgrimage towards God, in pursuing God and His kingdom, following Him, becoming like Christ. And there's a lot of truth, underlying truth, subconscious truth that we can take from this psalm in our walk with God. It speaks a lot about our posture towards God and trusting to Him, trusting Him. And it's almost a reminder for when we are tempted to, in our pursuit of life, in disregarding God and starting to gaze around at all the options that's out there to make our life easier, simpler, in whatever way, just to bring our attention back to God. So with that, let's read the psalm. I'll read for us, and then we'll dive into it. So Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So there, as they walked up, they would sing this and meditate on it. And that's just a way our brains also take information in, and how almost those underlying truths gets established in our lives. But if we look at that first verse, and interestingly, last week, Dear Beer preached the sermon that he said he also kind of like preached at Enrico and Friedel's wedding, a bit of a rehash of that. I know Valalem used this verse as well with Yaku and Evaldi's wedding as well, so it seems like we're recapping a bit of that. But if we look at that first verse, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come from? Some verses or some translations would refer to mountains. Now for us, when we think of mountains, or at least me, when I think of the majesticness of it, if I look at the mountains, We love nature, to go out, to be in the mountains. Mountains reminds me of God's steadfastness and that he never changes. And I'm always in awe when I'm in those areas. But for the Hebrew of a day, going up a mountain, it was a bit different. I mean, for those who maybe have been to India or Sri Lanka, you would know that when you look up to the mountains, it's beautiful, but you also tend to see a lot of temples and shrines on it, pagan worship happening. And for them, it would also have been something that they would look up, they would see the shrines and idols and pagan temples, the high places of the day. And these temples would also offer help and protection. I mean, in those days, you can, and same as you would probably have in India, there's a temple for everything. There's a god or a priest that can help you with everything. There's fertility of a land that's needed. You can go to a priest for that and secure your income. If you want to feel better, have peace, there would probably be a temple from that, and there would be someone that can give you some kind of medicine or spell to protect you from evil or perils of a road. So you obviously got, you had a need, you had trouble and you needed help. Where would you go to? You would look up, and many times that's the same with us. I mean, we find ourselves maybe in the busyness of life and we find ourselves somewhere looking up to, what am I going to do now? So where does your help come from? Or what is it that will help you? What will address that anxiety or fear that you maybe experience pending the hardships or suffering or perceived dangers that you see in the road ahead? Whether it's your job security for the year, or finding the right spouse, or that work promotion or dream job, aiming for getting that salary you wanted, finding a property, hard work, maybe looking to how can you work harder to achieve your goals, sexual fulfillment, whatever it be. And it's not that those things in itself is wrong. The problem that becomes when we make those ultimate things. That's what an idol is. An idol is an ultimate thing, is what we look towards for our needs. Someone said an idol is, if we feel God tells us to do something, then we ask our idol for permission, whether we can do it. We first consider, what does this area mean before we can say yes to following God? Whether it's our budget, does our budget allow us to follow God? Does our dream to do this or that allow us to follow God? All those things is indicators of where we might be getting our help from. And it's also a bit of an identity question. What is it that makes you feel complete? How you answer that would probably determine what is your priorities and actions and what drives you. And especially in Cape Town, when we look up, we see what those around us do. And that can get us in a scenario of thinking, well, maybe I should go for that or this as well. I see what they put their trust in. I see in certain areas of Cape Town, it's houses, it's cars, it's the material side of things, and so the list can go on, of things that we think that's where my help would come from. And it's not wrong to find yourself in that place. I almost would say you're definitely finding yourself in that space. It's just, are you aware that you're considering that? Because, I mean, driving out here, there's a lot of images or messages in terms of how the world would say this is the way to success, peace, fulfillment. And if we look at that and ask, where does our help come from, we might find ourselves contemplating that. Verse 2 then goes and says, no, My help does not come from the mountains. The Message translation says, does my help come from the mountains? That's also how that first verse can be translated. My help does not come from creation, but from the Creator. My help comes from God. Angus Buchan used to say, as this term, but God. When we come to a scenario where we need help or find ourselves lacking, to almost go, but God. Your mind would want to run with all the plans you need to make and do things, but just to almost pause yourself and say, no, but God. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Creator of the universe is where your help comes from. He is, a Revelation says, where God speaks about himself through Jesus, saying he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who was and is to come. That is the one from where our help comes from. And he is the Creator and the Lord over all forces, natural and supernatural. He reigns over all of them. And when we go through the psalmist, reminding ourselves, not only intellectually, but our hearts about this truth. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Because one of the verses or one of the commandments, what is the commandment that is mentioned most in Scripture? Stefan. No. Do not fear. That's a good one. Do not fear. I mean, a lot of times, I would have only known it if Gert told me last year about it, so it's not like I'm 100% aware of it, but I mean, that's one of the most repetitive ones. Do not fear, or fear not, appears over 300 times. It speaks about looking towards God, because if we don't look to God, our foundation is unstable, and then we obviously get filled with fear. It's interesting that God would command us so many times through Scripture not to fear, not to let our minds even dwell on those things. Where does your help come from? Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. In anxiety or fear, that's not a sin to experience that. But look to God. Don't act out of that space of being in anxiety or fear. Look to your Father. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says that those whose mind is set on him, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is set on him. As we look to God in those situations, we can receive his peace. Jesus said that he doesn't even do anything except that which he sees his Father is doing. So in following Jesus, following God, we need to look to him. If we go on, verse 3 to 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. So keep, the rest of the psalm speaks about that keep, and it refers to God watch over and attend carefully. So God is also portrayed here as a guardian, and we see that it's personal and corporate. Verse 3 says, he who keeps you will not slumber. Then verse 5 says, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Israel representing also the church for us. So God looks at you individually and corporately. And the thing is, I mean, we spoke about are you righteous last year to quite an extent. But sometimes, and if you read the psalm, surface level deduction can be that hey, if you're a Christian and you follow God, then everything should be smooth sailing. If your foot gets injured, you are obviously weak in faith. That's what one might think without saying it, but we know by experience that, and the Bible that's not true. but it speaks to God being part in, he's a personal God. He's part of the mundane things as well as the earth-shattering things. He is there when your child has an emotional breakdown. For those who have children, every Sunday morning your child breaks down and starts crying. As you come in your holy stance or posture, your child reminds, pulls out the devil inside of you to do that. Even then, God is there. When your car gives problems, even then, God is there. When your work deadline looms, God is there. Whether it's 1 a.m. or 1 p.m., God is there. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's not absent from the mundane things of life. Where shall my help come from? Even in the mundane things, in the work problems that you experience, God is there and to be called on and to look towards. Interestingly, it says he does not slumber or sleep. Now for us, coming from a Christian background, you've been taught that God doesn't sleep. But for them, compared to Baal, the priest actually had to wake, the Baal priest in the day had to wake up Baal. That's why in Kings, the prophet mocks them and tells them, go wake up Baal, because that is actually what they believed. They believed the gods had to sleep as well, so they had to be woken up. And our God is not like that. He's ever present, always there. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So for a traveler going on this journey, this was, Psalm was a traveling advisory on the one hand, and it was also speaking about your travel companion on the other hand, being God himself. But the sun shall not strike you by day. As a traveler, you could get faint with sunstroke. Under pressure and fatigue and anxiety, you could also become emotionally sick, moonstruck, lunacy. That's why it speaks about that. So that emotional sickness, God even keeps us from that. This 24-hour guardianship. He keeps us and he guards us all the time. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life, your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Maybe one, or let's stay with that verse. So he will keep you from all evil. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, and lead us not into temptation and protect us from evil. So this brings in the whole thing about suffering and hardship, and does that happen to Christians, or is Christians subject to that? Yes, definitely. Nowhere in the Bible does it promise that you won't go through trials and suffering. I mean, Jesus himself went through that. But what it does promise, what the Bible does promise, is that nothing will be able to separate us from God's purposes and calling and his love in us. It cannot separate us. As all the water in the world can only sink a ship if it gets inside, in the same way, God protects us from that evil from coming inside as we follow him. The only mistake we can make is to start believing or thinking that God has forsaken us and falling to fear. If we look at Romans 8, verse 38 to 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Christian journey is not about escaping suffering, but becoming more like Jesus. We are not trying to sidestep any of that, but we endure that, but in that we look to God. So as we close off, I want to read that for us again. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. For us who follow Jesus, that is what differentiates us from the world, so to speak, is that God is with us. He is our companion in the journey. He is with us. So I want us with that. I know we have communion this morning as well. I think those who have communion can, or that serving the communion can maybe get that ready for us. But just to consider, it's a basic message. Where does my help come from? And if you grew up in Sunday school, you know the right answer should be God. But where does your help come from? What determines your actions, your planning? Do you have what they call a faith gap? Is there areas where you don't have for which you don't have an answer in your life, or is your life completely planned out and just needs to fall into place as per your plan? What are you standing in faith for? Is there areas where you are trusting God? So with that, and yeah, I see the band is here. I just want us to stand still on that. Maybe let's close our eyes as we hand out the communion. Can we close our eyes if we hand out the communion? Maybe not. Bad idea. Sorry. We'll do that now. I started the year, I read a book last year about planning. My personality type is not big on planning, but I read a book, worked through it about planning, and I felt, okay, this year I got it all sorted. So the book is actually called Getting Things Done, and I thought, okay, ready for success, whatever comes. And I don't think there's a problem with that, except if that becomes your main area of trust. And I actually felt, as I embarked on looking at the year, that God just the Holy Spirit just prompted me not to go and plan everything out as I would like to. I know of a few things that needs to happen. I just felt that God says, where does my help come from? Does my help come from the level of degree that I've mapped everything out and planned everything? Again, it's not that there's something wrong with that, but my heart's trust should be in God and not in that. And he just led me not to go ahead with that, which was quite daunting for me. And what is that for you? What are you maybe finding some sense of hope or fulfillment in, or that is maybe the Holy Spirit prompting you to trust him more for? Let's just take a moment. You can close your eyes and I'll just pray for us. And I just want you to just to listen what the Holy Spirit is prompting in your heart. Father, we thank you that you are a good Father, that you are our provider. You are the one we look to, Lord. And we desire not to only intellectually proclaim these things or say that we believe that, Father, but we desire to experience that, to walk without care or worry or without fear, trusting in you and relying on you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You just come and reveal anything that you just want to set us free from, Father. That our identity is in you. We are seated with you in heavenly places and we do not long to have any of other things pull us down, Father. Thank you just for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, just for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free. Let us stand fast in that freedom. We thank you just for that this morning, Holy Spirit. You just come to deliver people from lies, any lies that steals hope, hopeless areas that is governed by lies, Father. We thank you just for that to be exposed right now in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you as we just take the bread and the wine, just as in remembrance of Jesus, what you've done on the cross for us, that by your blood we have been washed clean. We've been made new. We've been washed clean as if we never sinned. For those who follow you, Jesus, we thank you just for your body that was broken for us. Thank you just for that. Let's just partake of a communion, and then thereafter I just want us to pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our hope, that you are our answer to our souls in terms of peace and being one with you. We thank you just for that, Father. And thank you just for this time as worship as we come in, and just want you to, as someone just switches off the lights, Ben, if you can switch that for us, for off. But we want to pray for if anything was highlighted that you just want to pray it through with someone, or just want some sort of deliverance in any way. If you can just join there at the back in the corner is where we try and pray for people. So if I can ask some of the leaders just to be there, and you can just go there for prayer as we just go into worship. Just ask some of the leaders, or bring guys, if you can just go there.